Please turn with me to that psalm that we looked at earlier, Psalm 220, or 128, rather, 128. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are very few things that are more exciting than the day when a new child arrives in the home. From the time of conception to the first doctor visits to the ultrasounds to the anticipation of the day and all that comes with it. Getting clothing, the crib, the stroller, a playpen, decorating a child's new room. And then there is the final trip to the hospital where the piercing cries of the mother are replaced with the sudden cries of a new child, and the height of joy and excitement all seems to mount at that one moment where both parents are able to cradle their new bundle in their arms. It's been that way throughout centuries, as God has given that blessing to countless numbers of parents, of the saints. That's why we're looking here at Psalm 128. It's a family psalm. It follows the theme of Psalm 127. Both of these psalms are very close to one another in theme. Both give wise advice for home and family life. Psalm 127 very clearly sets out the contrast between the home of the unbeliever and the home of the believer. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We rely on the Lord for the raising of our children. We rely on the Lord for our marriages. We rely on the Lord to follow His directions. We need Him. We need wisdom to run our lives and our homes. And so we, both of these psalms we see give sound advice, which is why we are considering Psalm 128 this morning. Now, not all of us do have children. Not all of us have husbands or wives. But we all have family. We belong to family. For example, you are no less a family if you have no children. A family unit is also a husband and a wife, and that is blessed by God. Also, singles are family, and they are part of extended families and have an important part there. And so in this way, Psalm 128 has this broad application, and it leaves no one out. What I call your attention to is the progression of the psalm. It begins with the godly man or woman and how their example moves to extended family members, and then finally how that affects future generations. So let's consider 3 points from it this morning. First of all, consider the blessed individual. And the reason we say that is because of what verse 1 says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. He means every man and woman, every person. Because blessing is personal. It's individual. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your life. You see, that's what's being hammered home here. Like many other wisdom passages, other wisdom literature that we find in Scripture, like Psalm 1, blessed is the man, it says. Begins in that fashion. Or like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, as He began with those words, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So even though this psalm is primarily addressed to a godly man, the head of the household, it is addressed to everyone. Tense in the grammar here indicate that. But the question is, how is everyone blessed by God? Well, the psalmist gives us two things. First of all, they have to have that fear for the Lord. They have to have a right relationship with God. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it basically comes down to, what is your attitude about God? Do you take God seriously in life? God has to be taken seriously. He's not to be trifled with. He has to be the center of everything that we are. He has to be the starting point of all our decision making. We have to earnestly desire to live our lives openly before the Lord, and to do that with honor and praise. Godly fear also entails a sense of awe and reverence and fear, and fearing His displeasure of an evil life. If you know Him as a holy God, you will fear Him. You will especially fear Him when you realize that this great God is absolutely holy and is not pleased with sin. And if we did that all the time, if we thought about this more often, none of us would dare to live sinfully before Him. But that's the fear we're to have. And connected with this is also a trust. A trust in Jesus Christ. As Psalm 33 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." And so this fear is mixed with a trust in God who has made provision for sin in Jesus Christ. There's a great difference then between those who are truly God's people and those who are not. There's no greater gulf between the believer and the unbeliever. There's no sadder reality in the world between those who take God seriously and those who think of God as a plaything in the mind, and spiritual realities just as God's speech and nothing more. That's why this past week it brings us grief to hear about the news about Christopher Hitchens passing away. We of course cannot judge his salvation. We don't know if perhaps the Lord moved in his heart in a way to make him believe at the end there, but here was a gifted man who was able to write well, to argue well, and he spent all his efforts trying to convince people not to believe, not to fear God, not to trust in Him, not to love Him with all their heart. And that's the sad reality that we deal with all the time in this world, and it sucks the life out of our society. God's Word says, that with no uncertain terms, that everyone is blessed when they fear God. There's no other greater blessing in the world than this, to have our lives connected with the Lord in faith. It should make us pity those who don't know this, and to move us to prayer. Well, that leads us to a second way that we are blessed. Verse 1 also says, "Blessed is everyone who walks in His ways." Walking has to do with habits, godly habits. It has to do with attitudes. It has to do with our actions and views of how to conduct ourselves biblically. For example, Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." So that involves a conscious realization that we are to live before the Lord, before a holy Lord, even when no one else is watching us. We will always remember that God is seeing our lives. As we've said before, we live coram Deo. We live before the face of God. And so in a nutshell, we could say that the Christian life is blessed by how connected we are with the Lord, in personal prayer and devotions. It's a matter of our hearts. Where is your heart at as men and women, young people, boys and girls? Are you fearing God? Are you living every moment of your life aware of how the Lord in His Word directs us? Is that true in our thought life? In your habits of attending church and leading your families in personal devotions? Because fearing God is not just a private matter. It's not just personal. It affects others. It touches the hearts and lives of other people. It touches our wives. It touches our children. It affects our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. That's why this especially touches on the leader of the home. A man is responsible to set up values in his home. Whatever he decides to do, and however he lives, that's going to have an effect on his family, either positively or negatively. The woman of the home also has a great effect on attitudes and the mood in the household, whether it's going to be a happy household or a sad household, a godly family or an ungodly family. All these things are so important. And we have to constantly be evaluating ourselves. Are we living in this godly fear? Are we walking in the ways of the Lord? That's important for every single person here today to be thinking about. Am I pleasing the Lord? Where do I need to change? Where's my heart at with the Lord? How are my actions affecting others? And so the proper fear of the Lord stems from an understanding of His greatness, of His holiness. Our God is an eternal living God who has a perfect anger for sin. He is awesome, and He ought to strike fear within our hearts, a respect for His person. But that's where true blessing is, where we put our trust in Him and live out of that godly fear for the Lord. Well, that brings us to a second thing that the psalm speaks of. It speaks not only of the blessed individual, it speaks of the blessed family. The psalm writer goes on to explain this blessing in broader categories. He speaks first of the blessing of work. And essentially what he's saying here is if you fear the Lord and walk in His ways, then you will eat the fruit of your labor, and blessing and prosperity will be yours. Now that's obviously not speaking about being addicted to our work, to the neglect of our families. Rather, it's an attitude toward work. The man who fears God, he's not a lazy man. His family's able to look at him and they can see that he cares for them, that he provides for them. He looks after the physical well-being of his family. He also spends his time carefully and productively. It's very obvious to a child if a man spends more of his leisure time on frivolous things like sitting in front of a television all the time and not on productive things like fixing the house. It will be clear to your family where the priorities lie. Because the man who works hard will eat the labor of his hands, then things will be well with him, it says. He'll be content. He isn't grumbling about how hard life is and complaining all the time about the bad breaks that he gets. He's thankful and he's glad for all that he has been given. And he fears the Lord and he walks in His way. His joy is found in the Lord. These are the things that make a man blessed. And if that seems a bit surprising to us, then we ought to look again and reevaluate our lives. If we are like this as men, God-fearing men, walking obediently in the Lord's ways and being industrious, because it's in this way that we're blessed, and it's how our families will be blessed under our leadership. Also, the wife is described here as a fruitful vine within your house. A vine is a symbol of productivity. She bears the fruit of children. But her value isn't just in this. That's not only what this is talking about. This is only one part of it. It also has to do with her beauty, with her joy, with her character. A fruitful vine in that hot mid-eastern climate produces something that's refreshing, that's nourishing. And so she makes a home fruitful. She makes it a place of blessing. She provides refreshment and blessing in the home. And that's another area that's under attack from the world today. The world looks down on young mothers with large families. There's always this pressure to put off, not to have children until later in life, or to not have many children. But we see that that's so unbiblical. The Hebrew people saw children as a blessing. They were a heritage of the Lord. And that's actually an encouragement to you, young ladies here. Sometimes the world may crowd out your opinion of yourself for being a busy mom at home, caring for children and providing for the family. But a godly mother is concerned about her home. That stands above her, that stands above a career or the desire for a higher standard of living. Being a mother is something to be thankful about. That's a word of encouragement when you feel that the cares of the home can choke you out. But being a fruitful vine points to the joy that this woman has in her home as she looks at her family. It's a blessing. It's hard work, yes, but it's a blessing. A godly mother will make her place, make her home a place of peace and refreshment, a place of hospitality and fellowship, a place that will draw people with its aura of warmth and welcome. For she is fruitful, especially when she is a Proverbs 31 woman, when she is a woman of virtue. In the same way, a godly wife and mother is not lazy and self-centered. She makes her husband glad. She's valuable to him. Her character is precious. There's also a sense here of Song of Solomon in these words, the fruitful vine. The picture given by the Song of Solomon is like a cluster of the vine that brings happiness and blessedness. It's a picture of pure love. Again, this is attacked by, we're attacked by the world and on this regard as well. The world says, you know, look at that photoshopped woman that's on that billboard. That's what's going to give you fulfillment. But no, it won't. Not according to the Bible. The Bible extols the value of the marriage relationship, and it's blessing. And a blessed family then is one with a woman who is fruitful and faithful in the home. Well, that brings us to another part of this blessing, the third part of this blessing to the family. The psalm says children are like olive plants around the table. They're not trees. They're tender plants. They're little shoots, and that means that they need to develop. Their home is to be a place of growth, where the soil is there to provide the nutrients for training, for teaching. You know, we can have high ideals about this and high standards of how they are to behave, and we can just focus on the externals. As one author said, sometimes we want our kids to be perfect because it makes us look good as Christian parents. But none of us are perfect parents, and we don't have perfect kids. We ought to be growing together as a family in the Lord's ways. Such a notion that the Christian home is near perfect is completely unbiblical. The fact is, parents do fail in their parenting. Husbands and wives get irritated with one another. Children throw tantrums. They fail in school. But that's the realistic picture of the Christian home. And there's hope for a home that is like that because of Christ. And because as children, being olive plants, they can admit their sins. They can acknowledge their faults. They can repent and expect forgiveness and help from the Lord. They can progress in grace. They know what to do with their sins as they're taught by their parents to pray and to read the Bible and to confess their sins to the Lord. They can progress out of their sins as they grow spiritually. And parents also can grow as they repent of their sins, as they find real forgiveness in Christ. And as children require nurture from us, this also requires a lot of patience. This requires a lot of prayer. And it may take a long time. It takes constant care, watering with the Word, weeding out the bad. But God is the one who brings the growth and the blessing. And we trust Him to bring about that change. And so we need to remember that it's the hearts of our children that matter. It's not their external behavior. Where are their hearts at? We have to speak to their hearts. We have to address them where they are at with the Lord. And so when a man fears the Lord and walks in His way, he can expect blessing on himself and on his family. Well, that leads us briefly to that last thought in this psalm, the blessed future. The picture in these last verses is the personal blessing on the future, but also the future blessings on Zion, on the church. The man pictured here is a happy old man and enjoying God's blessing as he sees his grandchildren following the Lord. And that's the difference between a man who pursues financial success to the spiritual poverty of his own family and the man who follows the Word of God to see his own home being built up in the Lord. The old man who looks back at the covenant mercies of God to his seed can definitely see God's blessings. In other words, a young man with a young family who lives by these words can expect to look back on his life and see the good of Jerusalem all his days. The end of verse 6 is also no empty promise. It says, "Peace be upon Israel." The church of God will flourish when it follows the directions of this psalm. Because the family is the building block of the church. And if we want to see the church today as a strong church, it's when families are following the Word of God. It's when marriages are strong in the Lord. Once the Christian family breaks down, that affects the rest of the church. That affects society around us. That's why Canada is the way that it is today. Why there's so much turmoil and unrest and ungodliness. It's because people have not been following the Word of God. And it's standard for the family. There's no fear for God anymore. And so the question this morning is, how are you building your homes? Are you building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you using the material of His Word? Fathers, are you fearing the Lord and walking in His ways? Mothers, are you being that fruitful vine? Children and young people, are you growing in grace? And are you loving the Lord within the covenant relationship that you have with Him? That blessed place. You see, He's given us the foundation. It's Himself. He's also given us the material to build our lives. It's His Word. And He has blessed us with hope to maintain our home life. And that's found in Jesus Christ. It's in Him that sinners find forgiveness and the hope for dealing with their failures with one another. It's in Him that we acknowledge our sins and our failures and seek to turn from them. It's in Him that our marriages can survive and grow. It's in Him that children can learn and grow in grace. And so as we take stock of ourselves this morning, may the Lord bless our homes by His Word and through Jesus Christ. Amen.